I brought along a picture, a photograph with me this morning. It's a photograph of a sculpture which sits in front of the United Nations headquarters in New York. And here it is, a picture of that sculpture. And the sculpture really depicts the prophecy of Isaiah in its fulfillment. A figure is beating a sword into a plowshare. Now, this bronze sculpture was created by a Russian artist, Evgeny Vuchitek, if I've pronounced his name correctly. I think that's how it translates into English. And it's called Let Us Beat Swords into Plowshares. It was a gift to the United Nations from the Soviet Union back in 1959. They gifted it to the UN complex there in New York. And yet, less than 1 year later, the donor of the sculpture of Isaiah's vision of peace, Nikita Khrushchev, was in the Security Council banging his shoe on the desk in front of him. The prophecy persists in spite of its Soviet origins of the sculpture. Let us beat swords into plowshares. The sculpture was sent as Khrushchev was already planning to send nuclear missiles into Cuba. Well, the two readings we've shared together this first Sunday of Advent develop for us a vision of life in heaven and of our prospects of going forever to heaven. But as we hear these verses today, we might ponder on why life on earth seems to be so far removed from the conditions described of the life hereafter. Why can't we, you might wonder, why can't we do this now? Why must we wait for the kingdom of heaven to come in all its fullness for us to experience this vision of peace? Is there something perhaps that's lodged deep within us, in our biology, in our chemical makeup, that's beyond our control and prevents us from attaining this vision of peace on earth? Or could we all just simply have the opportunity to agree to make peace now and forevermore? And have we failed to do so merely because we haven't had the will or we haven't had the social institutions in place to accomplish that? If war is in our human biology, which it is, because everything within us fights against itself, then the prospects of peace on earth perhaps seem very bleak. And yet, the word of God is true. It has gone out, and as it says, it will not return empty. The peaceable kingdom of God will come. The kingdom we pray for every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. God has spoken in many ways. Today we hear God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he places before us a vision of a time when swords will be beaten into plowshares and spears will be beaten into pruning hooks. A glorious time when nation will not rise up against nation. They will not take up weapons against each other. And when we are called to look to the future that God has in store for the world on this first Sunday of Advent, this is one of the core images that God gives us of that glorious day. Swords beaten into plowshares. And yet there are other images as well, images which include awesome portents and signs in the sky, the coming of the Son of Man in all his glory, the peaceable kingdom where the lion will lie down with the ox, where a little child shall come and lead them all. And today on Advent Sunday, as we gather together, we listen to all of these prophecies of peace, shalom, prophecies of war and turmoil, of God's peace and God's awful and terrible day. And the vision endures because God has spoken it. in our church's year, we've just entered into the season of Advent, and we begin a journey afresh. We begin our journey with Jesus this year through the Gospel according to Matthew. And this is a time during Advent when we look forward. We look forward to something exciting, and we prepare carefully for that exciting thing because we want it to be just right. Now, if I was to ask you this morning what you're looking forward to in this season, I expect that most of you would give me the answer, you're looking forward to Christmas, when we celebrate the birth of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And you wouldn't be wrong in saying that, because we are looking forward to that. And for those people who are outside the Christian faith and outside the church, perhaps at this time of year, that's the only thing they're looking forward to. They're looking forward to Christmas. But for those of us who are committed to Jesus and committed to the Christian faith and its teachings, Christmas is only one of two things that we're looking forward to at this time of year. Now, the second, and to be honest, the most important thing that we're looking forward to, according to Scripture, is the end of the world. That might not seem to have the same instant appeal as a baby Jesus in a manger and as a nice turkey dinner, but that's the second thing Scripture says we should be looking forward to, the end of the world. And we know that that will happen because after the incarnation, death and resurrection of God in Jesus Christ, this is the next most important coming event in all of history. In fact, everything in the life of Jesus, the Word made flesh, everything in the history of the Christian faith, everything in our own lives has just been preparation for the end of the world. And that is because the end of the world is, in fact, not an end. It's simply a beginning, the beginning of our real lives. And our lives now are simply preparation for the real lives we will enjoy then. And at the moment, as C.S. Lewis wrote, we are living in the shadows. We're not experiencing our real lives yet. We are in the shadow lands. But when the kingdom of God becomes real for us in its entirety, then we will emerge from the shadows into the light. The light of truth, the eternal light, the light that shines in the presence of God. And it's all very exciting. That is more exciting, I think, than turkey and stuffing and presents and trees and Christmas cake. The problem is the preparations involved in getting ready for that kind of Christmas. The problems are getting ready for that kind of kingdom of God, because they're a lot more daunting and a lot more difficult for us even than preparing for Christmas Day. And so we tend, as we read Scripture, we tend to ignore this aspect of Advent and we concentrate on the more immediate, the nearer to hand good time that will take place in just a few weeks' time. But what, here's the question, what if we don't reach Christmas this year? What if the world ends next week? It might. If we believe that Jesus had at least a rough idea about what was going to happen in the future, then we have to consider that as a very real possibility. The world might end next week. It could easily end tomorrow, just as easily as it could happen in 100,000 years' time. As Jesus tells us in our gospel reading about that day and hour, neither the angels nor heaven nor the Son, no one, only the Father knows the timing. For as in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing of the flood that was to come. And it swept them all away. And so too will be the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus says. When I was younger and listening to, I suppose you would call it contemporary Christian rock music, I was certainly going to Christian music festivals, and there was a very famous Christian singer called Larry Norman. It's often said he is the great granddaddy of most Christian musicians today. He was a strange kind of guy. He had very, very, very long blonde hair, very blonde hair, almost peroxide blonde, although I think it was natural. He was a kind of hippie character. But he was also very tuned into what the Bible is actually saying to us. And he wrote some wonderful songs. One song that became quite popular, I suppose it would be the late 60s, early 70s, that got covered by many other musicians, was a song entitled, "I Wish We'd All Been Ready." He took the words of Jesus from Matthew's Gospel, just as we've read today, which speak of the rapture, the name given to the event, which some Christians believe will happen in the future, when all true believers will just disappear from the face of the earth up into heaven, and the rest of humankind will be left on earth to battle it out with the Antichrist. There's been a very, if you go into the Christian bookshops, there's been a very successful series of books written around that theme. Well, this is a song that Larry Norman wrote, "I Wish We'd All Been Ready." Perhaps these words of Jesus cause you to pause for thought this morning. They're based on Jesus' words, the words of that song. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. This could be the way that the world ends. But we also need to remember that in his teaching ministry, Jesus used various different images of the coming of his Father's kingdom. in the case of the rich man and Lazarus, which we read about some weeks ago, heaven is an immediate thing which exists at the same time as normal life, and you go to it, hopefully, immediately after you die. On other occasions, Jesus talked about the kingdom arriving as a kind of big explosion of magnificence and judgment. And then there's this image, of course, from Matthew's Gospel. It would seem to me that the only way you can explain all of these different accounts of the kingdom is if you accept that Jesus was using these images as metaphors to impress upon us, his listeners, the deeper truth about the kingdom of God and how we should relate to it. The deeper truth being that our minds are probably unable to comprehend what the kingdom of God will actually be like, and we have no idea at all. Even Jesus in his earthly life had no idea at all when it will arrive in its full glory. Only the Father knows. And so Jesus' advice on the matter is very simple for us. We better prepare ourselves now, because we don't want to be caught like one of the foolish young women who hadn't got their lamps trimmed when the bridegroom turned up. So what do we do to prepare, not just for Christmas, but what do we do to prepare for the end of the world? Well, I think we have to look back and we have to look forward. We must look back over our lives and identify those things that we've done that, as Lewis says, we ought not to have done. If you're anything like me, that'll take quite a while, at least the next 4 weeks. And once we've identified those wrong bits, those naughty bits in our lives, we have to repent of them in the presence of God. In other words, if we're sorry, we have to say we're sorry. And if we're not sorry, then we have to go away and sort ourselves out so that when we do come back, we can give God an honest apology. That's part of the preparation, but that's the easy bit. We also have to look forward, and that means we have to alter our lives, both individually and in our faith community, so that we become pleasing to God. Advent should be used by sensible Christians as an opportunity to practice pleasing God. Not by fasting or by being miserable, unless you're really, really called to such spiritual disciplines, but simply by being good people. Good people, that's all God asks of us. Be good. Behave yourselves. Don't hurt each other. Be generous to one another. Look out for each other. Care for each other. Love each other. Love one another as I have loved you. And if we practice very, very hard throughout Advent up to Christmas Day, we may find that we've developed the skills to carry on being good people even after we've opened our Christmas presents. One thing is for certain, as we progress through Advent, Christmas Day is like a little bit of the kingdom of God placed into our current existence. That's why we light candles, because the light of God comes into our everyday existence during Advent, and especially at Christmas. And so if we start preparing for the kingdom of God, every bit as much as we prepare for Christmas, then at the very least, we're going to have an absolutely super Christmas Day. Let's pray.